Jesus tells us to take up our cross and follow him. You're listening to Crosswalk with Pastor Steve Winery. Crosswalk is the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Tri-Cities, and it is our aim to lead you to the cross through the teaching of God's word.
Come break our culture, tear down our pride. Lord, take your church and purify. Oh, we are ready to stand in your love. Come, King Jesus, deliver us. Oh, my King is coming. Restless hearts, be still.
Again, let's start off in 1 Timothy chapter 4. I want to hit on a couple of things that I've already hit on last week. We'll finish a chapter because I was here for service, but I know that. But in verse 6, Paul talking to Timothy says, if you instruct the brethren in these things, you'll be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished in the words of faith and of the good doctrine which you have carefully followed. And he started off with a warning about false teaching and the end days and the end times and that kind of stuff. He's telling Timothy, as the pastor of that area, that he needs to make sure that he's warning people. And that's one of the reasons for a Bible study. That's one of the reasons for getting together as Christians. There are going to be times when I'm talking about issues that are coming up in just in the world in general and things that are being tossed around the church. The Bible talks about winds of doctrine that basically blow through the church. And many times people can be deceived by those things and they go in cycles. And so when I was a young Christian, they had this whole thing with shepherding doctrine. Shepherding doctrine was the idea that I get to run your life. And so I have certain people who are under me and they can't do anything. They can't buy anything. They can't get married to anybody. I pick who they're dating. That kind of, it was weird. And because I am their shepherd. And then I've got people who are over me, who are my shepherd, and they watch out for me and make sure that I'm doing all the right stuff and so on and so forth. It's kind of like a pyramid scheme. And the only ones who really win are the ones that at the top of the pyramid, basically. We've got the same thing going on. And they just call it by different names, G12 and that kind of stuff. But they're doing exactly the same things that they were doing back in the 70s and wrecked a bunch of people's lives. And it's not in the Bible. And so there are things that you, again, have to watch out for, make sure that you're not getting caught up in. And Timothy talks about that. He also talks about the point of making sure, or Paul talks about that with Timothy, excuse me. He always also talks about the point of making sure that he's exercising himself towards godliness. And that's one of the main things that I'm going to hit in the first section in there. If you look up at verse 7, he says, reject profane and old wives' fables and exercise yourself toward godliness. King James says, rather exercise yourself toward godliness. And that word exercise means hit the gym. It's literally the word gymnase. It's where we get our word for gymnasium. It's the idea of hitting the gym and making sure that you are acting in a godly manner. In other words, it's not enough just to know the word. You need to take the word. You need to make it a part of your life. And he's talking to Timothy, who's going to run the church at Ephesus. It's obviously important that the guy who's up front have a godly lifestyle, that there be some genuineness about them. And it's not talking about perfection. I'm not by any means perfect. Ask my wife. I'm not perfect. If you ask my daughter, though, that might be a different thing, depending on the time that you ask her. My son will go, oh, yeah, he's perfect. He'll say something like that, smart Alex stuff. And I just don't know what to do with that boy. No, he's just hilarious. I say something that he doesn't agree with, and he goes, fight me. This cracks me up. Love that guy. Anyway, you're supposed to exercise yourself towards godliness. And again, it's the idea of hitting the gym, trying to make something happen. Lots of people go to gyms, and what they're looking for is results, right? And so they're either looking to lose fat or they're looking to gain muscle mass. You know, if you're a guy, a lot of times that's what you're looking for. If you already got muscle mass, you're looking to cut it up and that kind of thing. But you're looking for results. And that's what Paul is saying to Timothy. There need to be results in your life. A life that's walked with Jesus has something that you can see. And that's the next section that he's going to talk about. And that's why I wanted to hit on those things. Verse 11, he says, these things command and teach. And he says, let no one despise your youth, but be an example to the believers in word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith and in purity. The point that Paul's making here is that when you're talking about ministry, and we're all involved in this, let me just back this up and talk about this. I want to make the point once again that even though we're talking about a pastor here, when you're talking about the qualifications for a pastor or the things that need to be seen in a pastor's life, you're not taking the pastor and exalting him and putting him up above every other Christian. What you're looking for is somebody who's a mature believer. This is how I've always taken the passage, long before I was a pastor. When I look at 1 Timothy and I see the qualifications in 1 Timothy chapter 3, whether you're talking about for bishops or whether you're talking about for deacons or whether you're talking about for young men in this passage, I don't care that it's pointed to a pastor. I know that what's being spoken about there is this is what a mature believer looks like. And so every one of these things applies to each one of us, no matter what. And so, again, it's something to keep in mind. When Paul is talking to Timothy about these things, the point that he's making is that people need to see it. They need to see what you're preaching. It's not enough just to talk about the Bible. It's not enough just to talk about Jesus. People need to see it and see how this works out in life. One of the points that he makes with Timothy here is in verse 12, let no one despise your youth. And obviously, what we're talking about is Timothy's a young man. And in the context of what Timothy's doing, basically, I've already told you that the church at Ephesus was nothing but a bunch of Bible studies. Most of the churches met in homes. And then when the church as a whole in a town would get together, it would be under one leader, and that was Timothy. And so he's dealing with guys who are doing different home fellowships, basically, and that's what the church was made up of. If we ever came under persecution, probably what the government would do is come in and take the building. They'd take the land. They'd take all our stuff. They would take it all. And that doesn't mean the end of the church. At that point, what I would do is just start divvying things up. And we would get people into different groups and do home fellowships and do that kind of thing, and the church would just go underground. It's what they do in China. It's what they did in the Soviet Union when the Russians were under communism. Something to keep in mind when you're listening to politicians talk about socialism. Been a lot of socialist states in the 20th century, and they all persecute Christians. And so something to keep in mind. And I believe that that's where things are going to end up going, because the Bible teaches that in the book of Revelation. In any case, when you have a bunch of different teachers in a place, Timothy being a young guy is probably going to be running into guys who teach the Bible and are old guys, right? And when that happens, you get a young guy coming up and talking to an old guy about how things are supposed to run. We all know how that works, don't we? Have you ever done this as a young man? Walked up to an old guy and told him, yeah, that's not really how that's supposed to go. Let me just show you here what's supposed to happen. He'll go, get away from me, you young little punk. You know, I've been doing this since before you were born. You know, and having that kind of attitude. And so what Paul tells Timothy is, on the one hand, don't let anyone despise your youth. Now, when I got in ministry, I was just a kid. So I was like 19 years old. And I'm involved in doing stuff in my church, you know, this is Greg Laurie's church, and I'm teaching Bible studies and doing all this kind of stuff. And there were a bunch of guys who were in ministry with me and around me, and they were all older than me. I was the punk kid. And so there are ways to handle that that are not good, and there are ways to handle that that are good. And I'm not saying that the way I got treated was necessarily a good way. You know, a lot of times they would dismiss me. Oh, that's Steve. He's young. He's excitable. You know, because I was always idealistic, and I just always have been, and never changed it. I refuse to. I still think that this is not about, we don't do church, we do Jesus. It's not supposed to be about, you know, the politics of church and all the ins and outs of different groups and that kind of thing. And, you know, we're dealing with people, so it's not like I don't pay attention to those things, but I'm really, like, super, really, really not interested. All I think this is a big Bible study. So I do a Bible study on Sunday morning, and if you want to come, all right. We'll get in the Word together, and we do worship, and if you want to come and we do worship together, yeah, all right, we'll do worship together. And if you want to be involved in those things, you know, depending on how the Lord's gifted you and stuff, then, you know, that's awesome. And, you know, there's opportunities and that kind of thing. But I know I'm running a corporation. It is a corporation. And I know that it's a business. It is a business. And I run it in a business-like manner, but that's not what it's about. This is about Jesus. This is about that, and that's all I really, really care about. There are times when my secretaries or my elders or the guys on my staff are coming in and talking to me about business issues and certain decisions that need to be made, and you know, pretty soon they'll kind of peter out as they're talking to me, and they'll get quieter and quieter, and the reason is because my eyes just glazed over. Because I don't care. I want to take care of things, and I want to make, but that's not my passion. I'm not really interested in all that. And it shouldn't be your passion either. Church politics is nothing but junk. It's nothing but, it's just filth. I hate that stuff. And, you know, that kind of thing. And a lot of times, you know, you can, when you're new and you're coming into a place, there are times that you're gonna run into situations where it looks like there's cliques and that kind of stuff because people know each other. And you need to understand that those things are there. You've read the Gospels, right? So can you name all the apostles, all 12 of them? You know, people start getting confused when you get to Bartholomew and Thaddeus and guys like that, right? And so who are the apostles that we can all name? Peter, James, and John. You know why? Because they're always connected to Jesus. I wonder if Andrew was looking at his brother Peter and saying, you know, you and Jesus and James and John, you guys are all a clique. You know, you're always together. You know, you go up on the Mount of the Transfiguration and we're having staying back down here and you're up there. I don't really appreciate that. You just think you're awesome, right? And Peter actually did think he was awesome. He thought he was the greatest. And then John would argue with him about that. And, you know, and not to diminish these guys, but that's what they're doing in the Gospels, and Jesus has to rebuke them for it, right? And so is Jesus doing a clique? And sometimes I think the reason that Peter, James, and John were with Jesus all the time is because they were the rowdiest, and Jesus always had to correct them. And it's like, you know, it's like when you're in a school classroom, and the teacher goes, Johnny, why don't you come up from the back, and why don't you sit right here, honey? I just really love you. I love you. This is what the teachers are doing. And you know what they're doing? What they're doing is Johnny's a little punk. His mom never disciplines him, and he's just going crazy in the back. He needs to be up front so we can watch out for him and stuff. That's what Jesus was doing with Peter and James and John. That's what I think. Anyway, you know, I've always been somebody who's I'm more introverted and I'm more quiet when I'm, you know, when I'm on a personal level, and that kind of thing. And the whole getting to know people at church, really intimidating to me. It's always been like that. And I have to get outside of myself. And I can't sit there and make excuses. I can't look at groups of people and see that people like each other and hang out with each other and just go, oh, they're just a big clique. And I don't want to have anything. You know, I can't do that. And so there are some groups of people that, you know, it's like I kind of don't fit in with them, and that's okay. And there's other groups of people who are more open, and I fit in with them more, you know, more often, and that's okay too. And, you know, the Bible, when you're talking about the friendliness thing, the Bible says a friend has to show themselves friendly. It's one of the first Bible verses that I memorized because I had a problem with it. You know, I had a tendency just to sit back on things. And there are people who are way more introverted than I am. And I understand your issues, but you got to get past yourself and you got to be stepping out and doing something. In any case, you know, when you're talking about ministry, Paul dealing with the issue of the conduct of Timothy, he first off says, don't let anyone despise your youth. And so if they start putting you down because you're youthful, what you do is you come back to them and say, well, you know, I'm youthful and I have new ideas and I'm wonderful and I probably know more about the Bible than you do. And you're just old fruit, old manna, dude, and you're old wineskins, and I'm the new wineskins. Is that what he says there? No. What he says is, let no one despise your youth, but be an example of the believers in word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Even when I was the youngest in the group, and for a long time, that's how it was. I was the youngest in the group. Whatever group you're talking about of pastors, I was one of the young guys. And I never walked up to guys who were despising my youth and said, don't despise my youth. What I did was I did what Paul said in this passage. I want to be an example. You know, there's a lane that you need to be in. And there are ways to treat people that you need to pay attention to. And if you're young, one of the ways that you don't want to treat an older guy is some of the ways that I just talked about, or an older woman is some of the ways that I just talked about. And you know what? It may be absolutely true. They may be all stuck in their stuff and not willing to move on. They're not paying attention to what the Bible says. They're just paying attention to what, you know, what the tradition is. You know, I came from the Jesus movement time. You know, the Jesus movement was a bunch of hippies. They all looked like Brandon. It's come full circle, man. And, you know, all the hippies would get together and they'd do their folk music, and then they just put Jesus words to the folk music and that kind of thing. And there's some songs that I learned when I was a brand new Christian. I still love them. And I could demand that the worship team stand up here every week and sing the songs that I was singing back, you know, when I was first a Christian. You know, in our church at Greg Laurie's church, 3,000 people, we'd be doing Father Abraham. Everybody stand up. Father Abraham had many sons. A church full of people. And it's all, you know, it's because we were all under 20. You know, it's one of those things. And you know, I could do that here too. And I would be holding on to some kind of traditional thing that I had when I was a younger believer. But the Bible says that what we're supposed to be doing is singing a new song. And so I don't need to be singing the songs that are back from the 70s. And some of you want to sing the songs from the 90s. And some of you want to sing the songs from the, you know, I don't even know what they call the 2000s, you know, the aughts, you know, or whatever. You know, the first part of the 21st century. And that kind of thing, you get mad. And some of you want to sing the songs from, you know, the 1500s, you know, and that kind of thing. And, you know, ultimately, I like all those songs. You know, I like hymns, depending. The marching hymns, I can't hack them. Onward, Christian soldiers, marching. And if you love this song, you know, forgive me. I can't hack it. But, you know, there's some old hymns that are just awesome. In any case, you know, that whole thing with just looking at somebody who's younger and just despising them is not something that you're supposed to do. And if you're younger and you're getting that, then there's a way to counteract that. And the way you counteract it is by your lifestyle. You show them what Jesus looks like. And that's something, you know, actually that's one of the, besides the fact that God just is involved in my life and he does things for me, that's one of the ways that, that's the only way that I've ever gotten noticed by anybody. They see how I live, they see what I teach, they see the words that I speak, that kind of thing, and they start going, well, pay attention to that guy. And God's done things with me specifically because of that. So if you're young and you're feeling like nobody's paying any attention to you, maybe you're not worth listening to, because your life doesn't match up with what's coming out of your mouth. And it's something to keep in mind. And so when you look at this, he says, don't let anybody despise your youth, but be an example to the believers in word. That's the idea that the things that come out of your mouth are things that are important. And all of this, when you're looking at it, you need to understand that youth is not as important as lifestyle. And sometimes people get this wrong. They think if it's young, if it's new, then it's something that should be done. Sometimes if it's young and it's new, it's stupid and it shouldn't be done. And so, again, lifestyle is more important than youth. So he talks about in word, obviously the teaching that comes out of your mouth, the things that you say, do they line up with what Scripture has to say? The way that you say things, does it line up with what Scripture has to say? And again, you know, keeping in your lane. This is what I mean by keeping in your lane, by the way. You know, when you're driving down the road and somebody's just all over the road, especially in roundabouts. Roundabouts make me nuts. You know, when you go into a roundabout, you always got to be careful because there's different rules in different roundabouts in the first place. And so sometimes you can turn right out of a roundabout out of both lanes, and other times you can only turn right out of a roundabout out of one lane, right? It's always fun to get in the one where you can only turn out of one lane with a guy, and he just comes across in front of you and almost gets you in a wreck and stuff like that. He's out of his lane, and he's causing problems. And when you're talking about interpersonal relationships, when you're dealing with people, sometimes people get out of their lanes and they cause a problem. And so I came from a military background. My dad was in the military. I was in the Marine Corps in second grade. You know? And so anybody that was older than me, anybody that was an adult, 18 years or older, it was yes, sir, no, sir, yes, ma'am, no, ma'am. And that was my attitude towards them. And actually, that's what had to be my attitude. My dad would check up on me, and I'd get spanked if I didn't do it. And so, consequently, I was the politest kid in school, which got me in fights, you know, with other kids and that kind of thing. But when I got older, it served me really well. Because when I'm dealing with a guy, and he's despising my youth, and he comes up and he's saying things to me, and I go, oh, yes, sir. No, sir. Immediately. You know, it takes down walls, and there's a respect thing that goes on there, and it's a really cool thing. And then I can, you know, sometimes I would show them in the word, and if they're being belligerent and stuff, then, you know, I just treat them respectfully. Actually, in the very next chapter, it says, you're not to rebuke an older man, but exhort him as a father. And so older men, you know, it's like I've never walked up to an older man and just tore into him. Never done that. And again, it's because of my upbringing and because of that too. And you don't get a good reaction when you do that stuff. But if you have a lifestyle that's different, you get good reactions from people. He goes on and says, in word, in conduct, and that's just in your daily behavior. So is your daily behavior different than everybody else on your job? Is your daily behavior different than everybody else in your class? Is your daily behavior something that reflects Jesus? And that's what Paul's talking about there. In love. And the word love there is agape. And when your love for people is something that reflects the love of God, it's a cool thing. Here's when your love is not something that reflects the love of God. When you love people to get something from them. When you love people and you expect them to reciprocate your love. That is not the kind of love that's being spoken about there. That kind of love is in the Bible. That's phileo. That's like a friendship love. And it's also eros. And that's a love on the physical plane. It's like puppy love. It's like infatuation, that kind of thing. But agape is a love that gives to people no matter whether they give back or not. And that's the kind of love that he's talking about. One of the things that, again, happens in a culture like what we have in a church, you want to be part of a group. And I ran into this all the time with especially single guys, young single guys, and sometimes they were a little awkward as far as socially goes. And they would come to a single study, and there's cute girls there, and they just it's like a meat market or something. They glom on to the cute girls, and they're like, can I have your number? Can I have your number? Can I? You know, doing that kind of stuff. And do you guys know where that's from? Yeah, whatever. Anyway, they would do that kind of stuff, and I'd walk up to them afterwards and go, dude, do you want to be married? That is not the way that it's ever going to happen. Do you want to have a girlfriend? Do you want to have a relationship with anyone? That is not the way that it's going to happen. You don't go after people and try to get, because it's not attractive. But if you're a person who has a giving heart and you love people just because you love them and you're not expecting things back from them, really attractive. All the people that you like the most are like that. That's what they're like. And so that's what God calls us to. And so you need to be an example in love and spirit. Spirit is attitude. You know, a lot of times when you see the word spirit in the Bible, it's something that can be pointing to different things. Sometimes it's talking about angels, whether you're talking about fallen angels or whether you're talking about godly angels. Sometimes it's talking about the immaterial part of you that communicates with God. That's a spirit. And sometimes it's just talking about your attitude. And so what Timothy is supposed to be is an example in his attitude. And we already dealt with this. You have an attitude where you're going to other people and just being arrogant and snotty and that kind of thing, thinking that you're better than people, you're not going to get a good response.
You've been listening to Crosswalk with Pastor Steve Winery. Crosswalk is the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Tri-Cities in Kennewick, Washington. If you're wanting to know more about what it means to follow Christ, then please contact our church office by phone at 509-736-2086. You can also look us up online at calvary-tricities.org. There you will find a wide variety of Steve's teachings to listen to or to download for free. If you want to join us for church sometime, we're located at 10611 West Clearwater Avenue in Kennewick, Washington. Our summer service times are 8 a.m. in our sanctuary and 10 a.m. in our outdoor amphitheater. We also meet at 6 p.m. Sundays and 6:30 p.m. Wednesdays in our sanctuary. We hope you have been blessed today and will join us again next time on Crosswalk.